Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
In writing to the Philippian church, the Apostle Paul made a tremendous statement of personal testimony, where he said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. And he went on to tell us in this passage that he knew from experience what it was like to be a base with need in his life at times, but he also knew what it was like to abound in abundance. But he said, I have learned a secret in life, that anywhere and at any time I am content. I have learned the secret of being content. Paul was able to say that over time because he learned to find his adequacy, his sufficiency, his fulfillment, and his purpose in God. St. Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You see, folks, it's not about what you have that's the most important. It's about who you know that's the most important. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that today? That's a personal statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you are not content with what you have, you will never be content with what you want. I want you to look at this. These words that Paul wrote to Timothy, these are words that don't really jive in this world. But Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Think about that one. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. To the same Philippian church, to these same Philippian believers, Paul also said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, fill the blank for your life, okay? For me to live is blank. What is it? You say, for me to live is family. For me to live are friends. For me to live is money, success, sports, just whatever it is. Here's the thing, anything other than Christ in that spot, then death is not gain. Death is lost, because death separates us from all of it except the love of Christ, the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Paul says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances, contentment is the goal. Contentment is the end result. But the key word here is the word learn, because contentment is not something that we are born with in this fallen world. We come into the sinful world kicking and screaming with an underlying spirit of discontent, and thus all of life becomes the pursuit of peace and purpose and comfort and contentment. And you know, when you look at all of the problems in the world today, When you look at all of the things that people do to harm themselves and to harm others, behind all of it is the underlying spirit of discontent. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden in the very beginning. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, look at that. She saw. It was pleasant to the eyes. A tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The pattern here from the beginning is one of discontentment, desire, sin, and death. This is the same downward spiral that James gives us in James chapter 1, verse 15. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I want you to look at this verse in Proverbs 27, verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. You see, discontentment, it is a sin. It is a torturous sin. It is its own special kind of hell. With discontentment, we become our own tormentors in our own prison. And the only way that we will ever get on at least a path to learning to be content. This is why I'm preaching this message today. The only way we will ever get on a path to learning to be content is in a relationship to and a reliance upon God. When the world is more important to a person than Jesus, then that person is going to forever be seeking happiness and contentment in the world and will continually and repeatedly come up empty. The world will leave you high and dry. This world will leave you empty in your heart. But with God, as we seek to love God, as we seek to really have agape love for people, as we seek to be His disciples, as we seek to follow Him, we should be learning in our Christian lives. We should be learning to move from discontentment. We have to battle it. We have to fight it. We need to move from discontentment to contentment. And therefore, I want to offer up what I believe are three keys to a contented life. Number one, the first key to a contented life is purpose. You say, Pastor Mark, why do you start with that? Why do you begin your message with purpose? I'll tell you why. When you know who you are, when you know where you came from, when you know why you're on this earth, when you know where you're going, when this life is over, when you know that, you can start to put all the pieces together. You come to a knowledge that there's a plan, that there is a purpose. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. I want you to look at this fundamental purpose statement that Paul makes in Acts 17, 28. He spoke these words to the philosophers, the religious seekers of Athens. And he said this, in Him, in Jesus, we live and move and have our being. In Christ, we find our purpose for living, our ground of being. Paul spoke these words to these philosophers and religious seekers in Athens because they were seeking meaning and purpose in vain philosophies and idol worship, just like people today. And Paul said, oh no, oh no. Our life, our breath, our very reason for living, our reason for getting up in the morning and continuing on in life comes from understanding the purpose that Almighty God created all that is, and He created us for a purpose. But you see, most people are not content with who God created them to be. Therein lies the problem. People say, oh, if I could just be this or that. If I could just have this or that. I mean, what do you think would happen if I thought every day that I wish I was 6'3 or something like that? I shouldn't even put that in there. No, we always want something else. When God created you, He created me for who He desires us to be. Look at this prophet Isaiah. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? When I first became a Christian and I was seeking to grow and I was reading a lot of the Bible, but I was also reading some devotional books, and I have all three volumes of a devotional book called Streams in the Desert. Maybe you've read it in Streams of the Desert, and maybe you have those. And one day I was reading in volume 2, the date October 27th, and this is what I found as I was reading. Once upon a time, in the wilderness, there was a thorn bush. It looked at its surroundings and sighed, could anything be more unfortunate? Ah, if I were only in the king's garden, it sighed. Such as I have heard the travelers tell of, cared for and tended, there might be some hope for me. But lo, it chanced one day that Moses led his sheep to the back of the desert, and the thorn bush burned with fire and yet was not consumed. And God dwelt in the bush, and forth from it there went the great commission for the deliverance of Israel. And all the ages have been lit up and blessed by the vision and by the message that came from the bush on fire. Folks, that's Paul's testimony right there. That's the way that Paul looked at life. He was in a fiery circumstances. To be content doesn't mean that you're not going to have some troubling things happen. Paul wrote these words while he was under house arrest, and the message went out. He said, I have learned. It didn't just happen. I have learned to be content. The way to learn, and by the way, when we learn something, we learn with our minds. We're learning. It involves the mind. It involves the attitude of the heart. And the way to learn contentment is to accentuate the positive. The way to be discontent in your life is to accentuate the negative. God wants to accentuate the positive, amen? And the devil wants to accentuate the negative. Have you ever seen this, the illustration that people use at times? I probably used it before, but someone will take a piece of paper and they'll put a little dot, a black dot in the center of the paper. And then when they showed to someone, the person, what do they focus on? They just see that dot. Here's all this space around it, all the things that are there, but the eyes and the attention are drawn to that negative black dot. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants us to just continuously focus on the negative. You say, Pastor Mark, there's a lot of bad stuff happening around me. There's a lot of bad stuff happening in my life. What about the good? Is there any good? Is there any good happening in your life? Is there anything good happening in your family? In your church? In the community? Oh, how much better we would be if we could just start focusing on the positive. Amen? Just focus on what it is that God desires to do. Someone once said, life is like a string of unconnected dots. But then God comes in and He connects the dots and He draws the line. And what you have is a hymn of thanksgiving, a hymn of praise. And so that leads me to the second key to a contented life that I want to speak of this morning, and that is praise. Not only purpose, but praise. You know, you may not be able to do anything about the world around you, but you can do something about the world within you. Amen. You may not be able to determine the outcome, but you can determine your outlook. And I want to tell you today, one of the consequences of a Spirit-filled life, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, one of the consequences, one of the outflows of that is praise and thanksgiving. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Don't let this world rob you of your song, of your joy. I've been guilty of that. Have you? God will give us a hymn of praise, spiritual songs, as we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. You say, man, this world is so messed up, you know, and I have all kinds of problems in my life. I mean, what is there? Maybe you're lacking in praise and thanksgiving because of those things. I want to point you to, here, let me give you some reasons why you ought to be filled with praise, okay? Regardless of what's happening in your life and in this world. I love Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Then there are five things that are mentioned there. Think about this. The psalmist said, He forgives all your sins. Think about that. That right there ought to make you want to jump up and shout praise to God. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. If He doesn't do it here in this life, He'll do it when we reach glory. We'll have new glorified bodies and no more pain and sorrow and suffering. He redeems your life from the pit, the Bible says. He crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your desires with good things. See, there's contentment. That's contentment there. He satisfies. Nothing will ever take the place of God in your heart and life. He's the only one that can possibly bring contentment and satisfaction into your life. What life does to you often depends on what life finds in you. Contentment is from the inside out. It's not coming out like this to you and I'm just going to be content When I get more, or when I do, no. It's from the inside out. You ever hear this song? When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I was going to tell you today a story that I heard, I either read or heard this story many years ago, but It was a story about some grandchildren who were visiting their grandpa, and their grandpa would like to get up in his recliner, you know, and lean back and take naps and stuff. And so one day the grandchildren decided they were going to play a prank on their grandpa, and he was leaned back in his recliner and his eyes were closed, but he wasn't sleeping, and he heard them plotting this. And so he thought, I'm just going to go play along with this prank and so forth. And so they went into the kitchen, and they were going to try to make something very stinky, you know, and so they mixed up some ketchup and mustard and ground up some onions and garlic and whatever, you know. They made this paste, and their grandpa had a big thick mustache like Tom Selleck, and so they got a Q-tip, you know, they made a little plate and they made this concoction, and one of them took the Q-tip and dipped it in that stuff, and then they carefully snuck up to their grandpa and rubbed it gently on his mustache, on both sides of his mustache. And so after a few minutes, he opened his eyes. He said, "Something stinks in here." And of course, they all started giggling, you know. And then they followed him into another room, and he said, "Something in here stinks." And they were just enjoying the whole thing, you know, playing the prank on their grandpa. Then he went out on the back porch and he said, "The whole world stinks." Folks, there are people for whom everything stinks. Life stinks, the world stinks, and the problem is right under their nose, because it's a matter of attitude and outlook. Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. And you see, the Bible says this: do everything without complaining. I quote this to Jamie all the time. Just one of my favorite verses. Do everything without complaining. I complained. The psalmist said, "I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." That's what it does. You know, if we just get the poison of the negativism in our hearts, and then we start speaking that instead of speaking God's word and believing God's word and trying to learn in our minds to be content in the Lord. Here's what we ought to do: enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. When you come to church, oh, I'm so glad you're here today. I wish there were more here today. But when you come to church, what you get, you know, sometimes I've always been amazed at people who say, "I didn't get anything out of that." You know, it depends on if you come with the right attitude, the right heart, and expecting to receive something from God, then I believe God will work and fill our hearts. There's one more point I want to make, and I'm not going to dwell on this very long, although it may be the most important of all, and that is paradise. Paradise. Purpose, praise, paradise. And the reason I talk about paradise is because I don't believe anybody will ever be truly content unless they know, they answer the soul question. What's going to happen when I die? What's out there ahead of me? What is my eternal destiny going to be? If that is uncertain and unsettled, there's going to be a discontentment there. Your heart and your soul will never be at peace. You have to know that you know that you know what your future is. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to receive you into myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." A number of years ago, I wanted to watch a football game. And I had to be somewhere, so I had to record it. And it was my favorite team, and everything was on the line and in this football game and so forth. And so I recorded it. But before I got back to watch it, someone let the cat out of the bag. And kind of reminds me of Springfield, Ohio. But anyway, just forget I said that. I heard them talking, you know. And my team, it was a nail biter. It was an absolute nail biter. And my team won. But I went and watched that. Even though I knew that, I went and watched that football game. I enjoyed every moment of it because for most of the game, it looked like a disaster. It looked like there was no way they were going to win. But I had the knowledge that they were going to win. So I could just like say, okay, this is going to work out. And folks, that's the same. You know, in this life, we look around and we see all these things happening. But we know how the story ends. We know where the victory is. God is going to have the final say. And when we have that knowledge in our hearts and in our minds of the place that He's prepared for us, it brings great contentment into our lives. I'm going to close with this. Revelation 21. John the Revelator on the island of Patmos and seeing the great revelation of Jesus, he said, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain.'" Can anyone say amen to that? "No more pain, for the former things have passed away." And then here's the invitation that I give to you today. And the Spirit, this is God giving us this invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, that's where contentment is. I'll tell you what, when the Holy Spirit comes in, that living water comes in and fills your heart. That's what brings true contentment.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.